This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
Janet, thank you very much for your time this morning. Janet, we're particularly interested in speaking with you about, of course, this, you know, the great outcome that we had on Wednesday in the Senate. But interestingly enough, the Prime Minister himself has come out and advocated for some changes to the bill. Can you shed any light on that for us? Do you know what he's proposing to do?
It's so disappointing that he has decided to throw his weight behind sort of further religious exemptions, since basically, I don't know exactly which of the amendments, but I'm presuming that the religious right of his party will be moving in the House. There was a whole slew of them that were moved in the Senate. I don't know whether they'll move all of them, and I don't know which ones the Prime Minister is going to support. But basically, it's bolting on extra discrimination when we voted for equality. And it's, you know, essentially our current laws and the Dean Smith bill that passed through the Senate this week is the compromise bill. It maintains the existing religious exemptions. That means that, you know, churches and ministers of religion don't need to marry anybody they don't want to marry. It means that church property doesn't need to be used for a same-sex marriage if they don't want it to be used. It maintains existing religious exemptions such that, say, teachers at religious schools, if they get married to their same-sex partner, they're able to be sacked. All of those things, unfortunately, are still essentially maintaining the same religious exemptions that are under our sex discrimination legislation as it stands. And for us as Greens, we don't want to see those exemptions continue. But in terms of getting a bill for marriage equality through the Parliament, we basically said, OK, that's the existing law. We're happy to let that lie at the moment. Let's come back to that next year and have a real proper debate about the role of religion and, you know, where one person's religious freedom becomes another person's discrimination. But sadly, the Prime Minister has decided to throw his weight behind some of those exemptions. The two that he's talked about are allowing civil celebrants to discriminate and not marry LGBTI couples, and also a fairly confused amendment about ensuring that charities will be able to still have freedom of speech to say that they support the traditional view of marriage.
So, Janet,
there's nothing in this bill that actually challenges that, so it's a rather strange one for them to be...
Janet, let's unpack both of those. So what's the problem with the first one? Why shouldn't civil celibates be able to refuse to marry someone?
Because civil celebrants are there doing the work of the state. They are basically performing a public service. They are solemnising civil marriage. They aren't solemnising religious marriage. And if people, 70% of weddings in Australia are done by civil celebrants. Yes, they can have a religious element to them, but as civil celebrants, it's discrimination if an LGBTI couple approaches a civil celebrant and is told, no, we're not going to marry you.
But to be quite frank, I wouldn't want to be married by somebody who doesn't want to marry me.
That's exactly the case. And civil celebrants, they will still have the right to say, I actually don't like same-sex married or marriage. You know, my personal view is, you know, traditional marriage between a man and a woman. They will still be totally within their rights to say that. And you would think that any same-sex couple or gender-diverse couple would then say, right, I don't think this celebrant's the right person for me, and they would go away. But we want to be able to say is, if, you know, say they're the only celebrant in a remote country town, and the couple want to get married, if they then insisted, it's absolutely appropriate that civil celebrant doing the work of the state should then have to marry them.
And look, I agree with Janet there. And another example of this is, could you imagine?
Well, so do I, actually.
Well, I know. Taz is playing devil's advocate in the studio.
Well, I think it's our role to actually unpack these issues
and
explore what they mean.
It's really important to give some contrast for our listeners as well. Another example of this is, could you imagine imagine going up to Vic Rhodes' office in Victoria and, you know, you've got 10 counters operated by public servants undertaking their job to give us a driver's licence, and one of them's got a sign up on their counter that says no gays allowed. You know, they're a public service fulfilling their duty. It's absolutely not on.
Exactly. And that's what it's the beginning of allowing, because, you know, there's this argument. In fact, one of the a number of the amendments that were moved in the Senate said that civil celebrants should be able to discriminate not on the basis of their religious belief, their personal religious belief, but also on their personal conscientious belief. So then what's to stop, you know, people being discriminated? Oh, I don't think I want to serve you because, you know, marry you because I don't believe in interracial marriages. You know, I don't believe that a black person should marry a white person. It's basically completely unpacking all of our anti-discrimination law, which would be a huge step backwards.
And let's not kid ourselves. The Libs have been trying to unpack some of those anti-discrimination laws for years, and I think this has just provided them with a bit of cover. But I think the really interesting point that Janet's made there is the Dean Smith bill is a compromise.
Yes, it is.
So, you know, this is a compromise bill, and you know, I think continuing to hammer that home, it's a really important one that Janet's raised. And, you know, I reflect on the Vic Rhodes, no gays allowed at a desk. You know, we wouldn't countenance that and we shouldn't countenance this. So, you know, Turnbull's being a...
He's basically, it's a backflip and he's pandering to the religious right in his party. He's basically fighting for his political survival, and he's trying to do things to gain and maintain the support of some quite extreme people in the right wing of his party and in the National Party.
So, Jenna, let's go back to the other set of possible amendments, which are really about charities. Could you unpack and explain to our listeners what that means?
Well, the claim that's being put is that somehow through legislating for marriage equality, that we are going to be impacting upon free speech and people's ability to say that, no, that's not their view of marriage, whereas there's nothing in this legislation that allows that to occur. So people will be able to say, you know, it's their personal view that marriage should be between a man and a woman, and that will continue to be legal. You know, whether, again, some people might think that that's too far, but that's where our current law goes. So this charities amendment is essentially saying that if a charity has that view of marriage, that they won't be discriminated against, and that they'll still be able to get, you know, government funding or other government services and still be able to be registered as a charity. It's a complete 30, essentially.
And it's also ironic.
But it's really buying into this whole agenda of just trying to claim ground on the grounds of religious freedoms.
And it's an ironic one, and I'd be interested in your thoughts around this as well, given we've typically seen when the Liberal government's been elected, they actually insert gag clauses, or what's known as gag clauses, in a lot of funding agreements with not-for-profits and charities, which actually ban charities from commenting or undertaking advocacy. So, you know, the hypocrisy of, in one hand, saying, you know, you can free to continue to say whatever you want against the gays, but at the same time you can't criticise government policy.
Exactly. There's been a huge push to close down charities on the progressive side of politics because they don't see them as suiting their interests. The other critical thing about this is, of course, it's got nothing to do with marriage. This is not to do with the Marriage Act at all, and sort of changing and gaining equality in marriage. It's all to do with this agenda of trying to sort of maintain the dominance of the view of the world that these quite right-wing politicians have.
Well, absolutely correct. I mean, that's right. This has got nothing to do with marriage equality, but it's been dragged in. But I did want to go back to this issue of charities. They currently do have some of those exemptions. So there's really nothing new that's being proposed here, is there?
No, and I think Janet's right. Janet's pointed out this is all, you know, throwing mud around and hoping some of it sticks, and convoluting issues
confusing.
And posturing and you know, dead right on the compromise, dead right that this is a smokescreen. You know, Turnbull's disappointed everyone, I hope, and I do hope that everyone remembers this when they vote. And that's probably the biggest thing.
Exactly, that people are going to have a choice at the next election, and it can't come soon enough as far as I'm concerned.
And we have torched the LGBTI community for his political gain, and it's...
Yes, that's right. Ironic that we've been through...
I can say shit on air, apparently, so yeah. I've been approved in saying that
You can't say the F or the C word.
It's just... shit.
We've been through this whole process, you know, the tortuous process, the harmful, hurtful and discriminatory process of the last couple of months. And then they didn't get the result they wanted. So it's really the last gasp of the right wing of Turnbull's party who just aren't willing to let go.
Yeah. Yeah. Janice, you were in the Senate while this debate took place. What did it feel like to actually, I mean, and obviously you're in a same-sex relationship yourself, and you have a rainbow family yourself. I've seen you introduce your family at various rallies and forums and so forth. What did it feel like to actually be sitting in the Senate while this conversation took place and you had all this bigotry and negativity being hurled about at our community?
It was such a contrast between the overall support that I know that the LGBTI community have in Australian society, and that was reflected in the result of the vote. And yet, it really made me feel that there are so many people in our parliament that are not reflective of mainstream Australia, and that they've got there because they've had a barrow to push and an axe to grind, and they've managed to sort of build their support to do that. But on the other hand, it was momentous and historic to feel that yes, they put up their arguments, but they were defeated on the floor of the Senate, and so it was. Yeah, it was. Essentially, we know that the fight for equality is still going to continue while we've got people with such a platform and those voices are being amplified through our parliament. But, you know, it was the sense that we have made such wonderful progress through what's happened in the parliament this week.
Yes, and when the final numbers came through, we could see the, I only saw media reports and YouTube clips, but I could see that there was this absolutely euphoric, you know, sort of feeling on the Senate floor. Tell us, what was it like to be there?
Oh, look, that real sense of, you know, momentous history making. And for me, I was sort of quite humbled and sort of felt this great sense of privileged to be there as the Green spokesperson and as part of the cross-party team that have been working so hard for this over the last year. And, you know, but in the fact that this last year of campaigning is the pinnacle and the final stage of, you know, the campaign that's been going on, certainly, you know, for marriage equality since 2004 in Australia, but for LGBTI rights for even far longer than that. And that sense that this is very much a community and a team achievement, both now and stretching back over decades. And it was there, you know, as I said in my speech, that I did, you know, genuinely feel that I was there standing on the shoulders of giants and paying tribute to all the people that have been campaigning for this for so long. In particular, I singled out Bob Brown, who, you know, he was put up the first marriage bill post the 2004 John Howard decision and had been fighting, you know, all of that time in his time in the Senate, and Rodney Croom from Tasmania, who's, I think, in terms of LGBTI rights, has, you know, been the preeminent activist over such a long period of time. And it was lovely that Rodney was able to be there in the Senate to see the vote passed. Bob was also meant to be there, but very sadly, Qantas decided to cancel their flight from Hobart. So Bob and Paul didn't get to join in the celebrations on Wednesday. At least not in person. I know that they were certainly celebrating. He sent us all a very lovely message afterwards. It just, what a delight it was.
Excellent. And we've just had a message in from Seamus. Sorry. Did I hear correctly that Vic Rhodes has a sign up saying no gays allowed? No, that was me giving an example of what could happen. So for all of our listeners, apologies about that. So Janet and I were having a discussion, and Janet was pointing out, you know, why it's really important that civil celebrants don't get the additional right to discriminate. And the comparison I said is, you know, effectively they are officers of the state and they're undertaking a duty as a public servant or a civil servant would do. And the example I gave is, just as it's not appropriate for someone in a Vic Rhodes office to have a sign up refusing to serve gay people, so too should it not be appropriate for civil celebrants to have any exemptions in this space. So my apologies if that wasn't clear, and thanks for texting.
Seamus, I can't believe that you would even think that would exist.
it's certainly, you know, where we're going with, you know, where the right would like us to go in terms of, you know, them maintaining their prejudices, it's not beyond the realms of possibility.
They'd like to see a Vic Roads office that has one gate for gays and lesbians, yes. One gate for Muslims, and one gate for non-whites, I suspect.
No, that's the equal but different, isn't
it? That's exactly right.
A part idea are back again, so...
Oh, dear. God, I find it tiring.
We'll keep on fighting.
The price for freedom is eternal vigilance, unfortunately.
Exactly. And I know that the people who have those views are very much in the minority in Australian society, but they have got far too loud a voice in Australian politics at the moment.
Yeah. So, Jenna, just on another matter, very, very quickly, our production team have just flashed up on our computer screens a media statement that you put out during the week saying that the $20 million left over from the postal survey should be directed into mental health services for LGBTIQ people. Have you had any progress with that claim?
No, we're still pursuing it. We've written to the Prime Minister suggesting that this is what should happen, and we will continue to pursue it because we know that the impacts of the 2 month postal survey campaign are still being felt.
Oh, it's been dreadful.
That's right, and and as reflected in the 40% spike in referrals to mental health services. Switchboard here in Melbourne had a spike of 35% in their calls that they were receiving, and that really did unleash some really awful homophobia and transphobia, and particularly across the board. But again, in my speech in the Senate, I really paid tribute and supporting trans people because they have been the butt of so much prejudice over this last 2 months. It was interesting in the Senate to hear politicians like Ian McDonald, the Liberal senator from Queensland, who is I won't say what I think of.
No,
Ian,
please.
But I think it would probably breach your standards for what you're allowed to say on radio. But
I've already tested those limits this morning.
Ian McDonald, he did feel the need to say in his speech, I've got homosexual friends, and knowing that he does not have a public licence to be as homophobic as I'm sure he actually genuinely is. But it's no holds barred when it comes to attacking trans people and just generally basically saying, no, trans people don't exist and that they've got a mental illness and it's all their family's fault and their fault for being deviant. And it's just an extraordinary intolerance and prejudice against trans people, which is still very virulent in our society.
Well, it is totally unacceptable, and we will do our very best to act as advocates for a much more respectful debate and approach to the way in which trans people are portrayed in our community. Senator Jenna Rice, thank you very much for your time this morning. Thank you for your vigilance, your hard work and the support for our communities, and I suppose your own community as well.
Yes.
We'll obviously speak again, no doubt, in the near future.
Yeah, thank you. We're looking forward. I'm really hopeful. Fingers crossed for getting this legislation unamended through the House this week.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that.
We're going to have those final celebrations, and I'm so looking forward to being invited to lots of weddings.
Hopefully a big, stiff drink at the end of this week once it's through.
I have been saying to my friends for a long time, I hope you include in your budget gifts for weddings, because there's going to be lots of those.
There's going to be lots of them, that's right.
Janet Rice, thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
Hi, this is John Borghetti's here at Virgin Australia. For 22 years, Joy has been the voice of the GLBTI community. Virgin is a proud sponsor of Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.